This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Quranic du'as or supplications are comprehensive. What is known in the Arabic language as Jawami'ul Kalim, concise words. As we mentioned, even a simple du'a, even though it's not simple, but simple in terms of to be able to recite it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That this du'a encompasses everything. Every form of goodness that a person wants inside the dunya is entailed inside this supplication. And everything good that you want inside al-akhirah is contained inside this supplication. Thus you find that between the Yemeni corner and the corner of Hajj al-Aswad is the sunnah to recite this dua excessively until you begin the next shout, the next circumambulation around the Kaaba to say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That is the possible sir behind it. That those words that we're trying to search and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is contained inside these supplications. And thus many of these supplications we mentioned are upon the tongues of the prophets that in their situation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them this revelation, yuha ilayhim, to say certain kalimat or certain words to come out of the calamity or to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness or for victory. So many of these supplications go back to the way of the prophets. Going back to the way of the Prophet Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st chapter of the Qur'an, whereby a long description of all different prophets and messengers and the tasks and the difficulties they have to overcome till eventually we come to a Dhannuni. When Dhannun, Sahib al-Hut, Yunus alayhi salam, when he left in a state of anger, disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, left the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his frustration, just like today, many of us think that people don't listen to the message of Allah, people don't respond. It's not for us to have response from people. In alayka illa al-balagh, upon you is only to convey the message. فَذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا, he was left in a state of anger, frustration with his people. فَنَادَى فِي ظُلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So this great supplication, as Ibn Taymiyyah writes a whole risala based upon this supplication of a relief from distress. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Indeed, you are the only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إلا أنت سبحانك, glorified are you, free from any imperfection. إني كنت من الظالمين. Indeed, I oppressed my own self in disobeying you. Thus we find that is the human being, the nature of the human being, is al-dhulm ala nafsihi, to oppress oneself. We move along to Adam alayhi salam, when he makes that a similar dua as well inside the Qur'an. As we said, the Qur'anic du'as are powerful. When he makes that supplication, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Both of them made this dua, Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, we've oppressed our own selves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا, you don't pardon and forgive us, we're going to be amongst the losing individuals. And as we want to look at the siyaq, the context of this supplication of Adam alayhi salam, to help us to understand these powerful words, the powerful nature of the Qur'an. That's what the Qur'an, it moves mountains. It should move people, it should move hearts. That's what the Qur'an does, it moves hearts and minds of people. That's why even just one dua, one supplication, one verse can click in the mind of an individual and awaken them, rather than the other things that we begin to speak about inside society. You speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it awakens people. You speak about the Prophet, it gives them that icon, that beacon of light, that this is the ideal personality, the ideal individual. That's what we should instill inside our society, hubbullah, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the love towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the story of Adam alayhi salam, as we find the first story inside the Quran, awwal qissa fil Quran. The first story inside the Quran is the story of Adam alayhi salam. If we go back to the words, فَتَلَقَّى آدُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Right in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah that we find, prior to that Allah speaks about the angels and speaks about Iblis that we're going to come to. But these words, فَتَلَقَّى آدُمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Adam learned certain words of inspiration. And he repented back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What took place with Adam alayhi salam, that to be placed inside Jannah and to be brought down upon this dunya. That now, that's why we reside in this dunya. Our real home is al-Jannah. That's the real home of the believer. This is just a temporal life. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. As Allah continues to mention, this is only mustaqar, a short temporal life upon this dunya. Then you're going to come back to the real abode, the real life, دَارُ الْحَيَوَانِ, the life of eternal bliss and living. Inside these ayat, Allah describes or mentions what took place between the ayat of Surah Al-A'raf and the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Because we mentioned there's powerful places inside the Quran, whether it be the end of Surah Zumar that we find describing the people of paradise and people of hellfire, or inside Al-Anbiya as we mentioned, and here inside Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh chapter of the Quran, some 200 plus odd verses that we find, speaking about either the people of paradise or the people of hellfire, those people may be in between. That's why read the siyaq, the context of the Quran, the nature of the Quran, the description of the Quran, what is between. Bayn al-jannati wal-nar. Bayn al-haqqi wal-batil. Bayn al-tawheed wal-shirk. That's what the Quran is, in between these two things, establishing the truth over falsehood, establishing paradise over hellfire, encouraging us to go towards the paradise and to avoid the hellfire. So that in the ultimate creation of Adam alayhi salam, that we find there exists Iblis, whereby inside Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah commands Iblis to prostrate in front of all the angels, or to prostrate in front of Adam. But Iblis, we find Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He refused. He refused to prostrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a sajda of tashrif, a sajda of honor, of dignity. This isn't a sajda of ibadah, of worship. That's why inside the sharia of the Prophet, there is no bowing down to anything. There's no bending your back. Illa lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. No combat sports, no respect, no king, no queen, no authority. Back of a believer never goes down. Unless it's forced or compelled. A life or death situation, either at the back of the believer, only bows lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala fi shari'atina. Either prior to that, it was allowed. Sajd of tashrif, for honor, Yusuf alayhi salam, his father, his mother, his 11 brothers, they all prostrated for him. That's sajd of tashrif, of honor, of dignity. That's why when Islam came, or to complete Islam, to wipe out any element of thought, of reverence of anything, any icon, anything, any symbol, any human being. No reverence. There's a limit to how we show respect towards human beings. We should never go beyond that limit. Because mujamalat, that we find beautification of people and things around us inside the world, that's what we're full of. Either excessive praise or excessive defame. As Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, that inside your life remain an equilibrium inside your heart. People praise you or defame you. لا يتغير قلبك. Your heart doesn't change. You're still the same identity, the same person. That's what Muslims should be. At times a person may need some elements of praise or encouragement to get on with their life. But their life isn't based upon that. It's not the all end of their life. Because the sir inside their life is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أينما كان. Wherever the person is, that's the objective inside their life. To seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iblis, he refused to prostrate. قَالَ مَا مَنَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. So Allah mentioned, described inside Surah Al-A'raf, because even these verses, فَتَلَقَّ آدُمِ رَبِّهِ, what is the words that he learned are inside Surah Al-A'raf. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسْنَا, we oppressed ourselves. So Allah asks inside Surah Al-A'raf, what has prevented you from prostrating? إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ, I commanded you to prostrate. Why are you refusing to prostrate? Inside Surah Al-Hijr, مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعَ السَّاجِدِينَ, what is the matter with you? You don't want to be amongst the prostrating individuals. Inside Surah Sa'd as well, discussion between Adam and Iblis, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commanding Iblis, أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ, why don't you want to prostrate with that which I created with my own two hands? That's why Muhammad Siddiq Hassan Khan, in his tafsir, a famous tafsir that he wrote, a revivalist inside the subcontinent, influenced by Imam Shawkani, he writes this tafsir and he begins to discuss all these different elements, these variants about why these words are used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are they used in different contexts? He begins to discuss inside his tafsir. But ayyuhal, that we find, the inside that we find, قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ. This is the clear response of Iblis. قال أنا خير منه خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. This is mantiq, this is logic. As we find أول جريمة, the first sin isn't on the earth. The first sin is in the heavens. What is the first sin? Al-kibr, arrogance. قال أنا خير منه, I'm better than him. How many times do we hear that inside our society today? I'm better than this individual. And even his pretext of practicing Islam is common. It's common that people will scoff and look down upon another individual. And then they try to pretend. It's fi kalamihim, in their speech, wa fi taharukatihim, in their hand actions, in their bodily movements. You are clearly demonizing another individual, ridiculing another Muslim, because you feel that you're superior. You feel you're better than another individual. This is the way of Iblis. This way of shaitan. Ana khayru minhu. Then he gives his mantiq, his logic. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَوْ مِن طِينٍ. You created me from fire, so fire is more powerful than clay. وَإِبْنِ تَيْمِيَا يَرُدُّ عَلَى هَذَا. Ibn Taymiyyah gives five logical explanations to diffuse this argument of Iblis. That fire is not more powerful than clay. And you don't have the right to make that statement. So this is the way of Iblis that we find. And what happens now? Just like in the modern world that we find when people don't want to accept your words, as we began with, not everyone's going to listen. What does Iblis do? He declares all-out war. He asks respite, and then he declares full war upon mankind. Full war, he declares. Forget about war of the worlds and the world wars that took place and the Third World War, whatever it may be. This is war from the beginning. From the beginning. An enemy that studied us right from the beginning, the essence of our creation. That's why he went through Adam, as some Mufassirin mentioned, went through Adam, came out and said, this is insan, jaff, is a hollow substance. I'm going to easily overcome this individual with whims and desires. Illa ibadika minhumul mukhlasin. Except for the pious, strong, sincere individuals, he's not going to have control over them. But the masses of people, he's going to derail them easily, take them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He's going to come from every angle. That's what ulama tafsir mentioned, from the right, from the left, from in front, from the back. That's what ulama said, this is strategic warfare. That's how an army comes. From every single angle comes and bombards a person. That's what shaitan, he made that promise. That's what I'm going to do upon the human beings. And as we find that Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions relating a hadith from the Sunnah Imam Nisa'i, checked by late Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani. Now what does shaitan do? When a person decides to come into Islam, or decide to practice Islam, or more specifically, a person leaves another religion, shaitan comes and says, do you want to give up the way of your forefathers? The religion of Aba'ukum? What are you doing inside your life? A Muslim then decides to make hijrah, whether it be the bigger hijrah of leaving one land, going to another land, moving from one community to another community to preserve their faith. Shaitan comes again. What is the matter with you? Why are you leaving your friends, your peers, your homeland? He decides to do that. Next, he decides to strive and struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan comes and whispers, says, why do you want to do that? Your children will be orphans. Your wife will be remarried. Your wealth will be taken away from you. That's what shaitan does, every angle. Trying to impose himself upon the human being to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَوَحَسِّنُوا لَهُمُ الْبَاطِلِ. Imam Sa'di mentioned that I'll beautify batil for them. I'll beautify evil, will look alluring towards people. That's what Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبُكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. Say that the good things, the pure things and the impure things are not equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Even though the khabith, impure things, will startle your eyes, will mesmerize you. Even for us as Muslims, it mesmerizes. You look at something, it creates some form of attraction. So imagine just a normal person, how they allow evil, make it look something which is good in life, a form of entertainment, a form of goodness, bring people towards that. That's what the whole media industry is based upon, millions, to click your brain cells. That don't think every single movement just happens to be a movement. Every movement in every frame of an advert, every frame is designed to pick up on certain things, certain nerves inside the heart and the mind of the individual, to entice them to come towards that, or to brainwash their mind, that when you see something for the next time inside your life, you're attracted towards that. That's millions that they spend to indoctrinate people to come towards what they want people to fancy or to desire inside their lives. Allah mentions in the Quran, وَاسْتَفْزِزْ مَنِ اسْتَفْضَعْتَ مِنْهُمْ بِصَوْتِكَ. Come and derail them, whoever you want, via the voice of your use of your voice. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجِلِكَ. And bring out your spears and your lances and your weaponry. And your soldiers go toward them. شَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ وَعِدْهُمْ وَمَا يَعْدُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Inside Surah Al-Isra. Come from every angle. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Participate inside the children and inside the family members. What do we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet? A person who is intimate with their family members, doesn't read the dua, then shaitan participates inside that matrimonial relationship. That's when people say, oh, this child, it behaves like shaitan. Even these kalimat are wrong. Because the essence, the foundation, that in every single thing that a person is doing inside their lives, is protecting themselves. وَذُرِّيَّتُهُ, and his progeny and his genealogy, from مَسُّ الشَّيْطَانِ, from a touching of shaitan. Because that's what shaitan wants. When he's given any opportunity, he will find that crevice, he will move into that straight away to try to derail all of us from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah mentioned, or he mentioned about, speak about Iblis, وَلَوْدِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَوْمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, I will misguide them. I will create false aspirations and hopes within them. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ, I'll give them these commandments. فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْعَآمِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I'll make them slit the ears of the cattle, deform them. What that means in the form of taking them to become a form of worship or to just to deform them. And I'm going to command them, فَلْيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I'm going to make people change the creation of Allah. Modern-day Mufassirin mentioned, what does that mean, changing the creation of Allah? Shaving one's beard is changing the natural creation of a man. Tattooing oneself in modern society, changing one's skin. There's a different discussion between ulama speak about plastic surgery where a person has gone through an injury. But just to not to be happy with your structure, with your cheeks, with your nose, with your hair, just to change yourself. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ. This is all about shayateen of the devil. That's why you look at some of these people when they plaster themselves with tattoos. You don't find it attractive. You don't find it attractive. And even many of the symbols, look at the symbols, what the symbols are. Symbols of devil worship, of the devil, praising the devil. So this is all the devil. That's what you find. You don't need, that's when people say, show me symbols of Allah. You don't need to see symbols of Allah. Because when the devil is around, it automatically it shows the force of good and the force of evil. That everywhere around us inside society, the devil is open. It's openly in front of us. The way of the devil and the way of the shayateen that we find inside our society. And then Allah said to Adam and Hawa, simple commandment, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. فَلَا تَقْرَبَ, don't go near this tree. Allah didn't say, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا. Look at the language of the Quran. Allah didn't say, don't eat from the tree. That is what is plausible. And the natural way of the human being. That you say to a person, don't eat from this tree. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ. Don't go near it. Because the language of the Quran is a very deep language. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ. Don't go close to the property, the wealth of the orphans. That protect their wealth. Don't go closer to think that maybe I can dibble and dabble and take something from the property of the orphans. Take that which belongs to you for looking after them. And even more stronger inside the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah didn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا. Allah didn't say, don't do zina. That's not what Allah said inside the Quran. Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. Don't go anything close that leads to zina. Anything that leads to zina. Any shubha, any doubt enters into a man's heart. You don't need no sheikh to give you fatwa. You don't need no one to say to you, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Because the Quran speaks bluntly to the human being. The most alluring thing to a man inside his life, Allah begins, doesn't speak about gold, silver, branded horses, tilth, property, this dunya. Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ minan nisa. What man loves is women. So if you feel that enticement inside your heart and your mind, you don't need to ask anybody. You just need to get up and walk away. You need to walk away. That's it, simple. Wala taqrabu. Because it's not about the end result. How many people do the end result, or whether it happens or it doesn't happen. That's not what Islam speaks about. Islam, right from the grassroots, before the seed even sprouts, it destroys any form of weed or corruption around it. Not like inside this society that taste your life, enjoy your life, do what you want to do, and dahur, you're free. A sign of their judgment, people fornicate openly on the streets. Go and see how people, how they behave, how they dress, how they are. That's all symbols of the last day. When you have no shame, do whatever you want to do. They don't feel no shame. They don't feel no shame in what they're doing. They feel it's an honor, it's a form of dignity for them what they're doing. But Islam lays out instructions for us to preserve ourselves. So Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِي الشَّجَرَ. Don't go close to this tree. Then Ibn Kathir begins to have a mild discussion, what type of tree, what type of fruit it is, even though Imam Sa'di goes to review, there's no need to discuss what type of tree it is. The only thing that we can say is Shajaratul Khuld. That's called inside Surah Taha, the eternal tree. Or some call it the forbidden tree. But there's no need to delve excessively what type of plant it was, what type of tree it was, what was the nature of the fruit, how did it cover themselves, what types of leaves it was. Even some ulama have discussed that inside the works of tafasir. It's a lesson that we need to extract. That don't go near something which is haram or forbidden, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away from it. And as we find for waswasalamu shaitan. So shaitan came and whispered to them. Imam Shankiti goes to review, it's not whispering in the mind. It's not whispering in the chest and the mind that we may face. He says it's a literal whispering, a literal speaking. That shaitan spoke based on the verses as utafa waswala shaitan qala ya adamu. Shaitan whispered him and said, Qala ya Adamu. He said, Oh Adam, hal adulluka ala shajaratil khuldi. Shall I take to show you the tree of eternity? Wa mulkin la yabla. And a kingdom that will not diminish. So Shaykh Shankiti in his tafsir goes to the view. There's waswasa that comes in a person's mind and a heart. It's plausible at times. But it's going to be human beings. Human beings who are devils. They're devils in disguise. They're not going to whisper to you. They're going to say, Yaqi, jarrib hada. Try this. Taste this. Come with us. Enjoy your life. Do this. What's wrong with it? Participate in this. Come in shababina. How many of our youth have just become lost from being good individuals? From being good individuals. Wholesome individuals. For what? Why? How? How did they get lost? How did they get lost inside their lives? Bad company. Evil people. People around them. Who open the doors, pops say, why don't you try this? Why don't you do this in your life? Why don't you practice this? These are also devils in disguise. That they're not content with their own life. They want everybody to be doing what they're doing. To make it look as a normal way of life. So be aware. Shayateenul jinni wal ins, the devils of the human being, the devils of the jinn who come. Yuha, who become to inspire people. To derail people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنْ الْخَالِدِينَ. So he's giving them this promise that you may become living for eternal, you become like the angels, you may live for eternity. Because something was there that was missing in Adam that Shaitan is trying to play on Adam. Adam is in Jannah. How can you be missing anything inside paradise? He has everything that he wants. But Iblis wants to find that avenue to try to inspire within him. There's something that you're missing inside your life. Then comes the ultimate word that he says to them. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا. He makes an oath. إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives them this promise. There's some works of tafsir mentioned. Allah said to Adam, even though Allah knows, Ya Adam, why did you disobey me? He said, I never ever thought that someone would take your name, make an oath by your name and then lie. Look at the simplicity of Adam. I never thought that this person or this identity would swear by the name of Allah and lie to me. Look at this dunya today. How many people yuqsimuna billah. Wallahi billahi tallahi. By Allah, I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And lie by the name of Allah. That's where we find that if you swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the last thing that you do. It's not trivial. It's not trivial that every word that you say, wallahi, this I'm speaking the truth, I'm saying the truth. It's the last thing because it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it shows you truthfulness. That you have to resort then to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're speaking the truth. So Adam couldn't comprehend that. That this individual is lying to me using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we find the rest of us, I'm sure most of us are familiar with the ate from the tree. And what happened? بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Do you find that there? Their nudity appeared. Their aura was exposed. Adam alayhi salam felt that shame. And some works of us mentioned, he went and hid behind a tree. Felt ashamed. And Allah rebukes you that. Why are you doing this now? When the command is given you to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey me. So thus you find that the aura, the nature of the human being, as we mentioned, is to cover ourselves. He felt ashamed. Someone mentioned that the complete aura was disclosed to these individuals. And they felt ashamed about themselves. Imam Sabuni inside his tafsir, he begins to speak about the removal of the aura. That people think that the removal of the hijab, or the way of its advancement, its liberation of the woman. That's even some Muslims that they think. That if a woman attires herself appropriately, if we use these words linguistically, may Allah forbid, this garb, this garment, if they attire themselves, they're backward women. They're backward inside society. Liberation of women is to expose your body, expose yourself, to express yourself. That's feminism, that's liberation, that's rights of women. Kadhib ala kadhib. Lie upon a lie. Does that liberate you? That you believe that it liberates you from the shackles of men? It makes you more a slave. Makes you more a slave of the society around you. Because the society is telling you how to dress, how to conduct, how to obey, what to do inside your life. So with that, what you're trying to free, you liberate yourself, you're still following that inside your life. Imam Razi inside his tafsir mentions, kashful awra. The exposure of the awra, min al munkarat, bidayatul munkarat. To reveal your aura is the beginning of munkarat, of evil. That it leads to so many other things, haram things inside a person's life. And then eventually comes the dua, qala rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min khasirin. Qala is the jewel, muthanna. It wasn't just Adam. It was Adam and Hawa, alayhi wasalam, both of them. Because inside the Bible that you find, they go to the view that the initial sin is the fault of Eve, of Hawa. She's the one that told Adam that I want to eat from the tree. So he obeyed her. And as we find in the Bible, according to Christianity, if you don't believe me, read into Christianity. They believe that because of that, the menstrual cycle that the woman goes through is a punishment for eternity for her to eat from her eating from the tree. The child labor and birth is a punishment for her. Is what Christianity speaks about. It's what they claim to be rights of women. They have their rights of women. That's how they demonize them. They used to place them inside barrels, throw them in the river. If the barrel went down, it was a witch. If it didn't go down, she'd die anyway. That's how they used to ascertain whether a woman is a witch or not. They had discussions, patriarchs, clergymen, whether a woman is classified as a human being. That's their discussion. We had it 1445 years ago. The Prophet spoke about, the Quran speaks about, that each individual, what their role and what their task is inside this dunya that we find. وَعَسَىٰ أَدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. Rather, many ulama go to the view, based on this verse at Surah Taha, that Adam, وَعَسَىٰ أَدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. Adam was the one who disobeyed Allah. He's the man of the house. He's to blame. Allah's blaming him. You're the one that disobeyed me, and that's how you've been taken astray away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. We've oppressed our own selves. That's what we began with. Every sin is an oppression upon oneself. That's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah speaks about. Iblis, he became arrogant. He didn't recognize his mistake. He didn't recognize his words. So he was punished for that reason. We blame the sin upon destiny. As some Muslims do today, they blame destiny. Allah's destined for me to be a bad, wicked person. Allah's destined for me to do this inside my life. So I may as well do it. Destiny plays no role inside what you're trying to say towards people. You're just trying to fool your own self. That's the way of shaitan. That's what Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentioned. That's the way of the devil. that he blames his sin towards destiny. وَأَمَّا آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَنَسَبَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. But as for Adam, he blamed himself. He blamed that disobedience. That's why everyone, as human beings, even if you take one lesson from today, every single one of us are responsible for our own selves. That's it, simple. If you can instill that inside your mind, no matter what you do, we'll all err, we'll all make mistakes, we may even commit major sins inside our life. But al-i'tiraf bi-dhunub, the person acknowledges, Ya Rab, I've done this for my own self. This is my own mistake. And makes that dua, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna, lanakunanna minal khasirin. I've oppressed myself. I've got nowhere to turn in my life. I've got nowhere to turn. And there's people who come and narrated stories and stories of munkarat, ba'd al-munkarat, ba'd al-munkarat. And if they despair, and we say to them, don't despair inside your life. No one should despair as long as you're breathing, you're living inside your life. Just turn to Allah. Just turn to Allah. Qala Rabbana zulamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. That's why there's no cardinal sin. There's no discussion with a pope or a priest to sit in a box and then to reveal your sins to the person. And the person signs you, they call it sundukul ghufran, the certificate of forgiveness. They'll give you a certificate, you've been forgiven by God. Tala'ub, playing with the deen. You don't need to make i'tiraf in front of any individual. It's call to Allah. Forgive me for my sins. That's why Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah speaks about even these prophets and these judgments, or if we can use it with these mistakes they made, they were boosted many times over inside their life. There's a wisdom. That's why as a human being, that when a person even is sin inside their life, some people, they boost so much inside their life. They go forward so much inside their life. They excel from not just dhulm, from dhulumat, a life of total darknesses. Total darknesses. As we began with the noon, total darkness inside their life, they come to the ultimate noor. They find the ultimate noor. Because inside their heart is that desire to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَوْ رَبُّ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. He turned to Allah. Allah then selected him, accepted his tawbah, wahada, and guided Adam alayhi salam. فَمَنْ اتَّبَعْ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Allah doesn't leave us like that. Allah says that whoever follows my guidance, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. You follow the guidance of Allah, you'll never be misguided. وَلَا يَشْقَى. You might be poor, downtrodden, disheveled, bad state. No one knows about you. No one respects you. وَلَا يَشْقَى. But inside your heart, you're content. You're content. Because the believer deep down inside their heart, فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى, is never misguided away. When he sees the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَشْقَى, never becomes wretched. That's what Allah then continues to warn. وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَوْ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ وَنَحْشُرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّي لِمَا حَشَدْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Look at Allah concludes the journey of Adam alayhi salam. Gives us the opportunity. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ, whoever turns away from my remembrance, whoever turns away, I show you this guidance. وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لُوْ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ. This person will have a restricted life. The first restriction, ulama speak about, inside the grave. But the more plausible, clearer meaning inside this dunya, مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ ضِيق. No contentment inside their life. No contentment. There's one individual who just walked into the masjid. He just went into the masjid. He said, I have literally a billion to my exposure. I can go and do every haram I've done in my life. I've been on yachts, on boats, on islands, on planes, on the sea, on the land. I've got cars. I've got Bugattis. I've got cars. I've got McLarens. I've got everything. I can walk anywhere, buy what I want to buy, do whatever I want to do. But when I walked into the masjid, I just walked into the masjid and I knew that I was missing something inside my life. I'm missing something inside my life. I'm missing Allah. That's what I'm missing in my life. That's what we think, the you think, I want to aspire to be this inside my life. I want to be the best and the top individual. It never happens. Because top individuals, they just fluster away. Life just comes to an end. No contentment, no peace inside their life. Whatever industry, whatever work, whatever it may be, greed for money, for power, for lust, for desires, promotion, the dunya, whatever it may be, artistry, whatever it may be, there's always going to be a cavity. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمَعِيشَةً ضَنكَ وَنَحْشُرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى كَفِيف. I'll raise him up on the day of judgment blind. Person say, قَالَ يَا رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى. Ya Allah, why are you making me blind? Why am I blind? I could see inside this dunya. I could see. Why you made me blind in this dunya? Inside al-akhirah. You know why you're blind? Because inside this dunya, the signs came to you. And you forgot them. You moved away from them. وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And today Allah will forget you. I've forgotten you. When Allah forgets a person, that means that Allah turns away from that person. That person now is doomed. It's the end of the individual. Now we can understand these kalimat from Surah Al-Baqarah. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now we can understand the whole context of what these words were. And what the impact of these words were upon Adam alayhi salam, and what it should be inside our daily lives as well. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا تَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That, Ya Allah, if you don't forgive and pardon us, we're going to be amongst the losing individuals. That's when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he asked the Prophet alayhi salam to teach him, give him a supplication to say inside the final tashahud. اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. That's what Abu Bakr was taught by the Prophet. That should be a supplication towards the end of our prayer as well. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. I've oppressed my own self excessively. Gone beyond the limits. And you don't pardon and forgive me. Maghfiratan min indik. That's what some ulama speak about. That it is from Allah. The maghfirah, the person is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't forgive me, you don't pardon me, then indeed I'm going to be amongst the losing individuals. And thus we find that some of the fawaid, some of the brief lessons that we can learn from these ayat or from this supplication or this context that we find is firstly not to be arrogant. Before we become arrogant towards the people is a subject in itself, as we touched upon. But don't be arrogant in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't sit there and try to use destiny, that this is what destiny has done to me, or this is what Allah has destined for me, that I should just accept it inside my life. Don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accept one's wrongdoing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wrongdoing doesn't mean you have to have carried out major sins. It could be just the general things inside our life that we have discrepancies inside our life of devotion and commitment, and even in a higher level of shukr and obedience, of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things He's bestowed upon us. Because one who persists and uses destiny as an excuse is like Iblis. And one who repents is like our father Adam, as Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentions in some of his works. And secondly, we find that curiosity, that we find the nature of the human being is wanting more or something better. Adam alayhi salam is inside Jannah. So that curiosity is played on his mind that maybe this tree is a life of eternity. Maybe I'm not going to live for eternity. Maybe I want to be like the angels. I want something more. So that curiosity plays upon a person's mind, thinking there could be something more and better. And thirdly, conclusion, you find that one slip, one mistake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. But some ulama mentioned that one slip, one mistake could take away so many blessings of a person. That one mistake of Adam alayhi salam took away all the blessings of paradise that brought him to this dunya. So a person should be wary inside their life that sometimes when blessings are being taken away from the person, it could be that one sin, that one mistake I've done inside my life, that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking away these blessings. So we should be vigilant inside our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to pardon us, and to encourage all of ourselves, that all of us are the sons, the children of Adam upon this dunya, to repent and to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to judge any individual inside our lives, or to become individuals who think that we're some superiority over other individuals. We're just all human beings on a journey that are together to return back to our initial home, the home of paradise, whereby we may recline and rejoice and be with one another for eternity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate that for all of us.